So, good morning to everyone. Can you hear me in the back? Great. All right. Let's just begin with a bow. Yeah, and maybe just look around and bow to those near you as well. Yeah. Good, good, good. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. We take on this practice, each one of us on our own, and at the same time to be together is really wonderful and strengthening. So the recognition that each one of us has to breathe our own breath, right? And at the same time, we really are breathing together. So I want to ask you to remember that today, that we are breathing together. And we aren't just breathing together in this room. We are breathing together in this world. And so that sense immediately of connectedness, it's so crucial in terms of what we're doing. There's so much in this world of a sense of isolation and loneliness and a sense of not belonging. Wherever people are, they feel that they don't belong, you know? And is there a way that we can belong ourselves, you know, invite ourselves in and invite everybody else in with us into this exploration of what it means to find, discover inner freedom and love within one's own heart. And then to share that with everybody, not to keep it for ourselves. So immediately belonging. This issue recedes as we sense ourselves breathing with everyone else. I'm really happy to be here. A number of you were here last night, but most of you, I don't think, were. And I spoke a little bit last night about kind of seeing you in your environment, in your own habitat, that I see you in different places, many of you, back east, you know, at IMS, some of you at CIMC, Cambridge Insight Meditation Center, Cloud Mountain. Oftentimes I see many of you at Cloud Mountain. But it's, and I know some of you have traveled to get here, but it's still, there's a sense of me coming here and seeing you where you live is a little bit different. You know, when I taught in Cuba not that long ago, I went a little bit earlier than my teaching required because I wanted to talk to people about the particularities of suffering in Cuba. You know, recognizing that it's different. Of course it would be different. And only can that happen when you're actually with people where they live, where they are. So I'm saying this more on a vibrational level than on the level of content, but I am very happy. This is by way of saying that I'm really happy to be with you here in this wonderfully thoughtful meditative environment. I'm really struck by how thoughtful the whole environment is, which is meditation, to be thoughtful. You know, we don't lose our brains when we meditate. We just learn how to be thoughtful instead of always being used by our thoughts or addicted or over-fascinated by our thoughts. But of course, we need to be thoughtful at the same time. So I want to just say a little bit about the schedule today. It will be an intuitive schedule, which means it's not posted on the board. Yeah. And we'll move with things as they are. My intention is to certainly encourage silence and to encourage the outer silence, touching an inner silence, a way to access inner silence. And we'll sit, we'll walk, we'll sit, I'll talk. We'll have time for discussion and questions and answers. It'll be a day in which we move fluidly, seamlessly from one thing to another. It's so wonderful to have a day like this where you don't have to be concerned about time. You know, I have to be a little concerned about time, and maybe some of the volunteers have to be a little bit concerned about time. But basically, we can let it go today. This is a luxurious day. Even if it's hard and you're thinking, you know, get me out of here, and which is a valid enough thought, you know, happens to every practitioner at some point or another, sometimes five times, you know, in a given morning. The point is to not leave. You know, the point, that's the crucial point, is to be able to tolerate the thought without acting on it. But the thought arising, of course, you know, retreats, this kind of situation, there are times when we are asking ourselves to live with ourselves on a full-time basis. Usually it's part-time, you know, it's part-time work to be with ourselves, because we're always absorbing into this or that and distracting ourselves and, you know, lots of stimuli and lots of responsibilities, of course, in our lives. So to be here in this environment, a retreat, a day of retreat, a weekend of retreat for many of you, is this invitation to be with ourselves full time, which is great because it's the only way that we can uncover inner freedom or Buddha nature or whatever the word might be, intrinsic wisdom, intrinsic compassion. And we come up against the rub, right? Always we're coming up against the rub. Always there are moments of resistance. And those moments of resistance, that's the practice itself. It's not that it's not the practice when we're not feeling resistance. It's just that from moment to moment to moment, everything is our practice. So I was speaking last night about different components that are necessary for the practice, and how if we isolate one component and then we ignore the others, it doesn't work out that well. It's not a rich enough practice. And I was speaking about how we have to hear the Dharma. We have to put ourselves into situations where we're listening and hearing the Dharma. And you could say this is some degree of studying, you know, studying what the Buddha said, or listening to the Buddha's teachings, not believing it completely. Of course, we always want to experiment and test things out for ourselves. But to hear the teachings is really essential. To sit is really essential. To be awake and aware as much as is possible throughout a day, in our daily life, whatever the activity may be, is an essential component of the practice. And we have to bring it all together. You know, some of us just love to sit and sit, thinking that we can work everything out simply by sitting. Doesn't work that way, you know? I mean, for anyone, even if you're ordained, it doesn't work that way, because we have to connect with each other. We have to be together. We have to engage in, you know, in relationship and in the daily life tasks that we have and our work and all of that. You know, so we can't just depend on the sitting, as invaluable as the sitting is. You know, as invaluable as the sitting is, it's not enough. To simply hear the teachings and not put them into action is not enough. To hear the teachings and not live the teachings, express the teachings, embody the teachings is not enough. And to simply, and I know I'm talking to the converted here because you're here, to think that you don't need to sit and you can just do it all by being awake and aware throughout the day, in theory, it's possible. In practical terms, I've never met anybody in which that has worked out. You know, in theory, it's possible because the sitting is just a form. You know, the silence is a form. The walking is just a form. So from that point of view, you know, if you're just simply awake and aware and completely engaged in practice in your everyday life, you know, conceivably, it would bear fruit. But I don't see it in practical, real terms over all these years. And I feel like I have all these years to speak from now, You know, all of a sudden it shifted, like it was no years, no years, no years, and then all of a sudden, wow, you know, 40 years, that's a chunk of time. So I'm speaking from that viewpoint of having had a lot of encounters with practitioners over the years when I offer this perspective. To sit and to see if we can be awake in our everyday life without a sense of direction or vision, which is what the Buddhist teachings offer us. They offer us a certain kind of perspective, view, direction. You know, this is really important. Otherwise, we're just sitting there, and again, theoretically, we could learn a lot without knowing any of the teachings that are being offered. But again, in practical terms, usually we need something. We need a way to look at life. We need a kind of bigger perspective or view to be able to look at our experiences. And we have to have some sense of direction as well. You know, I mean, it's not A to B, really. It's always A to A. But we've got to go from A to A. You know, there's a path from A to A. And so we have to really firmly put ourselves on that path and engage in listening to the Dharma, engage in being as awake and aware as we can in our everyday life. And the discipline, the rigor of the sitting, I think is really essential as well. So bringing all that together today, right, in this luxurious day that we have, that's stretching out in front of us with nothing, no obstacles in our way other than our own inner experiences that we may relate to as an obstacle. You know? But really, we can use it all as material for awakening. When we find ourselves sleepy during the day, not, oh, I'm so lazy, you know, I'm keep hearing about waking up, awakening, and here I am asleep, and it's not, you know, it's not even a hindrance I can respect. I can respect desire, or I can respect, you know, aversion, or resistance, but I really can't respect sleepiness. Respect sleepiness, you know, respect sleepiness. The other side of it is a greater degree of wakefulness than we may have ever experienced before in our lives. But we have to engage it. You know, we have to face it. We have to be awake and aware. We have to not veer away from. We have to directly look it in the eye. And then change can take place. Transformation can occur. So everything we experience today in this sense of timelessness, of not having to worry about time today. You know, I think it's one of the great graces of a day like today is that we don't have to make all the choices that we tend to have to make in our usual everyday life. I've heard some recent scientific studies about how having to make too many choices kind of just, you know, makes the mind a little discombobulated. That we're not supposed to have to make as many choices as we are called upon to make these days. So enjoying not making any choices, just moving with things as they are. I'd like to really encourage you, most important thing is to keep your mind in the room and to stay present, you know, to be here, not elsewhere, and to be present. Because a day like today, you know, you might have a moment where it feels like it's three lifetimes, but also we'll get to the end of the day like this, you know, and you want to know what happened during the day. Yeah, you want to know how it was lived or how life was lived through you. And the only way that will happen is through being present and awake and aware. So that's really probably the most important thing. I want to pause for a moment right now and ask for something really low-key, so not to get revved up about this, but really, really low-key. I want to have just a little bit of a go-around, a very brief go-around, And I know meditators are sometimes on the introverted side, so I'm reassuring you before I get you into this. But really, it's just your first name and one fragment of a sentence or a full sentence, but certainly not a paragraph, of intentionality in terms of why you're here today. Okay? It could be there was nothing else to do, or, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a noble reason. I just would appreciate hearing everybody's voice before we begin. So let me ask you not to rehearse, right? You don't have to rehearse your own name. And the intention, it's like a little snapshot in the moment. I'm not going to hold you to it. Nobody else is going to hold you to it. I like to think of it as writing on water. You know, it's gone. You say it and it's gone. It might help you as a sense of direction through your day. But nobody else is going to care about it. Yeah, it's just a way to be more present and for me to hear everybody's voice, really. Say, let go, it doesn't mean forget. It just means letting go of any extra and holding on to the gold. You know, letting go of anything that's sticky and holding on, embracing that which is helpful and useful and can guide you internally throughout the day. So a little bit about content today. I spoke about the schedule. I want to say just a little bit about the content. I'm going to be offering different teachings from the book, The Magnanimous Heart. And you know, I divided it into four different sections of loss and grief and joy and liberation. And as some of you heard last night, I do want to say this to you today, for those of you who weren't here, that it really does cover the four of the unknowable-ling truths. You know, so the first section is kind of what's wrong, and I'm defining it because of my time with Ajahn Mahabua as feeling a sense of squeeze. You know, what Ajahn Mahabua defined the state of affairs that we find ourselves in as being a constant squeeze. Sometimes that squeeze is really strong and we really feel squeezed. And other times it's very, very subtle. And as the mind quiets more and more, we experience this squeeze more and more, which you could say is bad news. You know, we're supposed to meditate to not, you know, feel what we don't want to feel, when in reality we have to experience the squeeze to be able to release it. So the recognition of this squeeze, either very strong at times because of conditions in our lives many times, and other times very, very subtle. And yet, as our minds quiet, we can experience it more and we can also release it. So first noble truth. Second ennobling truth is in this second section under what I'm calling grief. But grief, you know, is a word. It could mean anguish. It could mean sorrow. It could mean rage. It could mean despair. It could mean loneliness. It means all of the reactions that we have when we realize things are not the way we want them to be. Right. So often, things are not the way we want them to be. And how do we react to that? We can try to change conditions, and we need to do that for ourselves and for others. And so much is out of our control. And so, in not being able to change conditions and recognizing the out-of-control nature of things, we begin to look within, or we continue to look within, and we take a look at our reactivity. We take a look at how we're reacting to this basic fact that so much is out of our control and we can't change things in the way that we want to be able to change them. So this is a second ennobling truth, looking at the ways that we can unhook and untangle the tangle and gently look into our torments of heart, of greed and hatred and confusion and delusion, and approach these torments of heart with loving kindness and with compassion and with wisdom, so that our hearts are liberated. You know, this practice has everything to do with liberation of the heart. So that's second ennobling truth. I've switched the others around. The third section of the book has to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. I'm calling it joy. And as I said last night, I've always thought that it should be this way. And so because I wrote the book and the Buddha is not around, I took permission to put the third noble truth in the fourth place and the fourth noble truth in the third section of the book. So the third section is the path, you know, the path of practice, of sila, samadhi, and panya, of ethical action, calming and steadying ourselves, and leaping into learning, yeah, the third section of wisdom, yeah, illuminating our lives, right? So this is in the third part, and then the fourth section, which has to do with liberation, that's the third noble truth, really, the fact that it is possible to release our hearts from its torments. It is possible to know inner liberation for ourselves. So I wanted to just give you that way of looking at things, because in the book itself, I make no mention of the noble truths at all. And yet, of course, the path, it's, you know, the way the Buddha spoke about it, it's so brilliant. And so it's there. It's just not spoken about as being the four noble truths. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. Today, I'm going to focus basically on the first two sections, and then tomorrow on the second two sections. So, you know, sorry if you can't come. Missing out on joy and liberation. You might want to change your plans if you're... yeah. So that's sort of my model for today. But of course, it's all together. So not to dismay if you can't come, because it's all interwoven. We break these things up into different parts and sections because we have to be able to talk about these things. And that's how we understand is through being able to share and to talk about these things, write about these things. But in reality, they're all of a whole. Nothing can be fragmented or separated as all of a whole. And I'm going to particularly focus on the first two sections of the book today, and then tomorrow the other two sections. So I would like us to have a bit of a sitting right now, but before that, if we could just get up and stand.